I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Greetings, Grapple fans, and welcome to your latest dose of all things pro wrestling here on the Pro Wrestling Index on the Anfield Index podcast channel. It's Andy Wales here once again with my audio tag team partner, Mo Chatra, and Mo, that sounds like a disease. Is the WWE really that bad at the moment?
It's certainly seen better days, and I hope that I can get back on track. But watching WWE programming at the moment feels more like a chore than anything else. So it doesn't really fill one with excitement right now. But we'll explain more as the show goes on, listeners.
Yeah, it's a chore, certainly. A dose could be quite apt, actually. Kind of like a dose of salts that's going through you. You know, a bit unpleasant, really. Mm. We were speaking off air just before we started to record about, you know, what we've got to talk about this week. And, we're saying, look, you know, obviously Battleground is not the most enthralling and enthusiastic pay-per-view, the build-up towards it. But we're pretty sure we could shine it up with everything that we've got, and we can, you know, we can take this turd and we can shine it real, real nice, to borrow a phrase from The Rock. Because, right now, it has to be said, Vince has got a diamond. When you look through the roster of talent that they've got at WWE, they've got a diamond there, and he's making a diamond look like an absolute turd right now. It is quite disappointing. The TV is not too great. The pay-per-views, in isolation, there's some good matches on there, but the whole build-up, everything, it just doesn't feel quite so special enough at the moment. And something else that's happened this week as well, which we will speak about a little later, is, of course, the whole thing on Talking Smack. So, but we will get to that. And everything surrounding it, how it was announced, who was aware of the announcement and who wasn't and whatnot. Yeah, we will get to that, as well as your favourite Punjabi prison match moments that we asked for. We will share them. They were a bit of a stretch, but, you know, we will try. But we'll start with Raw. Slightly predictable, I've got to say, more, was that the main event. Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns getting interrupted by Braun Strowman. I mean, it was discussed on last week's show, myself and Guy. It's what we kind of expected to happen. Sometimes predictability isn't such a bad thing because it made sense that that would happen. And it's just kind of the way the things are played out. And hopefully, I mean, we didn't get the answers at the end of the show, but hopefully this is going to set up a fatal four-way at SummerSlam. Certainly that's what myself and Guy were talking about last week. I mean, what are your thoughts on that one?
Yes, that certainly seems to be the direction that they're going to be heading in based on what we've seen on TV and also at the Great Balls of Fire. So I'd be surprised if they then go back to the original plan of having a singles match between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. So it certainly seems to be a fatal four-way, at least a triple threat. And the only way that'll end up happening is if one of the three of Strowman, Reigns, or Samoa Joe is taken out of the equation in some kind of injury angle and miss the SummerSlam match, but possibly interfere at the end of it or something like that. But yeah, that seems to be what will happen. I mean, there is a lot of talk that sprung up in the last week about Brock Lesnar, in fact. The talk is that he might be returning back to the UFC because he's now gone back on the drug testing regime for USADA, which is the drug testing agency, and that's the one that's used by UFC. And the talk is that he might be looking to get back into UFC yet again. And if that's the case, then it's quite conceivable that he might drop the title at SummerSlam, because he started back on that program. And you normally do that if you're fighting 4 or 5 months after that. So if that's the case, he could be back in UFC December, January time. And given that training camps last about 3 months, then it could be that SummerSlam might be his farewell in terms of his latest title run. So that certainly makes it interesting in terms of SummerSlam. But yes, certainly going into that match, at least, I'd be surprised if it's a singles match. I suspect it's a four-way, as you speculated with Guy last week.
Yeah, and certainly, as we spoke about, you know, the four-way is an easy way to protect both Lesnar and Strowman if you're not going to put the title on either, you know, or not going to keep the title on Brock, or you're not going to put the title on Strowman. It's a very, very easy way to protect both men so that neither of them looks, it can be perceived as being weakened or is pinned or submit to submit. You know, that obviously the pinfall can happen with one of the others. And I suggested more as well is just that pure dynamic of having four rather than three. So rather than having a spare part constantly having to roll out of the ring or have double team situations all the time, you know, you can easily switch between having two guys working in two separate areas. It's just an easier match to book, really.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Totally. It's something that will work really well. And on top of that, you know, you'll have, you know, two people in that match that will be well over in Strowman and Samoa Joe, one who will be the complete opposite in Roman Reigns. And then who knows what the reaction to Brock Lesnar will be, because if by then it's made clear that he's returning to the UFC rather than just taking a short break to work another one-off match like he did last year, the year before it, whenever it was, then they might turn on him. And, you know, so you might have two that get vociferously booed and two loudly and heavily cheered. So well, that can certainly add to the spice for that contest.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting going forward. And again, you know, we're just over a month away from SummerSlam. So, you know, with all the guys involved, it's certainly enough there to keep it going on TV and keep us occupied without having to wheel Brock out on a regular basis on Raw. So it's it could be interesting the way things go forward. Certainly, like you're saying there, with Brock changing his testing schedule. So, but just moving across from the Universal title on Raw over to the other big angle on there, and that angle would be the angle. Yeah, this is going to become a thing with me. And we've had a question from one of the listeners, which is from Killian Murphy, who's at Roundino53 on Twitter, who asks for your thoughts on the Angle-Jordan storyline and the state of tag team divisions on both brands, not getting teams over with poor booking and breakups now thrown into the mix as well. So I guess twofold there, Mo, is obviously your thoughts on that whole Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan storyline which was for me a bit of a throwback to the lesser times of the Attitude Era, the times of the Attitude Era that we try to forget, and also the implications that then has on an already thin tag team division on SmackDown.
So I think that this whole storyline between Angle and Jordan is part of a wider kind of drive that I think Vince has initiated, that he's looked at the declining ratings, and I think has put it down to the fact that there's perhaps a lack of episodic storyline booking to the product on Raw and SmackDown. And so that's why I think they're trying to come up with these stories that have these layers to them and bring questions and create some intrigue from one week to the next. So, you know, the hook from the previous week was, you know, that we're going to have this big announcement from Kurt Angle. Previous to that, we've seen a similar dynamic to the whole breakup around Enzo and Big Cass. Over on SmackDown, you know, the latest thing is who's been attacking the Fashion Police. So I think there is that kind of effort to try and do some of that. And you could argue, in fact, that it's working because the ratings for Raw that had been on a decline have actually been going up in recent weeks. And you certainly can't say that's because of awesome matches, because Raw hasn't really featured an abundance of really hot matches. So it's obviously something else. And I think what is being attributed to that is the kind of slightly different approach to storyline telling. So if anything, I think we can expect more of the same, that things like relationship type angles and stuff like that, love triangles, and, you know, some of the kind of stuff we saw in the Attitude Era, but obviously watered down for the PG era, is what we'll probably see more of. And normally when that happens, it's usually at the expense of the in-ring product. So that's certainly not great, given that, as you mentioned earlier, they've got such an abundance of talent up and down the roster, not only on Raw, but also on SmackDown. So and on top of that, you know, there's certain talent that are there in the company who are far stronger as in-ring performers than they are when it comes to the acting side of things and telling stories in that regard. So you know, that might explain why certain people are not being pushed as strongly as you might like or might think they should be pushed. So it'll be certainly interesting to see in the coming weeks and months how this whole kind of slight shift in the booking of the TV product pans out. You know, whether we'll see more of the same, if that increases ratings, whether that will only ramp up, if ratings then dip again, whether they'll come up with something different. But at least I'll give them credit for one thing. They're trying something. You know, it's better than not doing anything, which is something I've been critical of them about. As to whether it's successful, as to whether it will work, as to whether it will make great TV, well, let's see how things go. I mean, it's certainly bizarre going with, you know, Jason Jordan as the son of Kurt Angle, especially in an era when that kind of information is so easily dismissed through the power of Wikipedia and the internet.
That's a real failing on this. You know, it's you could get away with that 20, 25 years ago. Mm. You know, to an extent, you could get away with that. But the access to the free access to information is so prevalent. It's so easy now that even kids can go on and go, oh, that's just a bit ridiculous. You know, this is silly.
Yeah.
It's that kind of, the thing is, it's for me, it's that you ask us to suspend disbelief, but then it's the crossover between reality and fantasy. And it's, you know what I mean? I just, at the times it's like, you know, you're sitting in one box or you're sitting in another, you know, are you going to head in one direction or another? You can't sort of cross back and forth in between, you know, you can't like dip into reality and expect things to look real and feel real, and then go to complete fantasy and expect us to suspend our disbelief as though we're watching, you know, a soap opera that we accept is just a drama with actors playing the parts of characters. You know what I mean? I just feel like that they need to, you know, pick a direction and move in that direction rather than, you know, kind of migrate back and forth between them.
Well, that's been the problem, you see. I think that there are differences of opinion at the upper echelons of the WWE. I think Vince has a certain view about what WWE's product should be. I think Triple H and possibly Stephanie have another view. And there'll be other people like Kevin Dunn, one of the senior producers, who leans towards Vince's view of what it should be. And then you'll have other people, you know, like Shane, who isn't as powerful as Stephanie or Triple H, but certainly still has a little bit of sway. Again, he'll have his own views. And that's why, you know, we do see a slightly incoherent approach to talent recruitment as well, because WWE has, for the last 2 or 3 years, gone through the indies and swept up so many talents who are great workers in the ring, but are not really Vince type of talents. You know, they're not the kind of talents that have a bodybuilder look. They're not the type that have, you know, great charisma, have strong interview skills. You know, they're people that have just worked on the indies and impressed from bell to bell in the ring. But other parts of their game are just not there. And, you know, we've seen some of those people come through NXT. Roderick Strong is a good example. He's somebody who is an exceptional worker. We've not really seen the best of Roderick Strong, just yet in the ring on NXT. But certainly from a personality point of view, it's very clear he's not the most charismatic of individuals. At the same time, whilst we've seen an influx of those types, we then see these really big monsters coming through, like your Braun Strowmans, the likes of them, and they're more the Vince type. And so there is, I wouldn't quite describe it as a power struggle, but there's certainly a difference in ideology at the top of the WWE. And I think that's filtering through down to the TV as well. And that's why there is inconsistency and a lack of coherence in the way that talent are booked. And that's why, you know, some of them seem to be really well pushed for a few months, and then they just get buried into mid-card oblivion, you know, for another few months. And then the end result is that they get nowhere. And a good example of that currently is Finn Balor. You know, he was receiving a great push up until few months ago, and now we're seeing him in a completely wasteful program with the Drifter. You know, it's just a complete waste of an exceptional talent. But again, it might be all down to this difference in ideology. You know, Finn Balor is an exceptional worker in the ring, but is he a great promo? No. Is he the type that can perform really well in a storyline? In the way that somebody like Kurt Angle, who's a great actor, can? Probably not. So in terms of that kind of side of things, that's kind of limited with what they can do with Finn Balor. So unfortunately, I think we're going to see a bit more of this. We're going to see more Jekyll and Hyde booking, and, you know, it's going to be the talent that suffers. So that's certainly not a good long-term prognosis for direction of travel in the WWE.
So just briefly from that, the tag team perspective then, do you think this split then that obviously we've now got with American Alpha, do you see this as detrimental to both the guys involved? I mean, do you feel like they're ready for this in the singles, to move in the singles direction, or do you think it could be potentially be a big opportunity for both guys?
Had you asked me this when they were still in NXT on the verge of moving on to the main roster, I would have said it would be absolutely ridiculous to break them up, because they were so great on NXT. They were a fantastic tag team. since they've been brought up, though, they've just been booked so appallingly that they've lost all of that momentum from NXT. So I really don't see what they've got to lose by breaking them up. Of the two, it's a difficult one again, because the reason they came together in the first place is because they complemented each other and they kind of made up for certain shortcomings each other had. You know, Gable's got charisma. Jordan's got great athletic ability and he's very, very good in that way. Gable's a good worker as well. But they were just missing certain things. And by coming together, they compensate for those missing elements as a unit. Whereas, you know, being taken apart, they might miss some of that. And that's perhaps why they paired Jordan with Kurt Angle, because Angle can perhaps make up for some of that that Jordan's missing at this moment in time, around that kind of natural charisma. He's a very good worker, though. And, you know, he might surprise us. He might really come along strong in this kind of storyline and do something that we've not seen from him thus far. For Gable, I really fear for him because I think he's a very good worker, but you know, there's lots of very good workers in the WWE, and there's lots of very good workers that are going nowhere fast. They're, you know, just treading water at this moment in time. So he's somebody who probably needs a change in his gimmick, possibly a heel turn, and then, you know, we might see something productive in terms of his career direction. But I really don't think there's anything to lose by breaking them up, because they certainly lost a lot of momentum in the few months that they were over on SmackDown.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I guess we'll, it's another one of those, we'll just have to wait and see how things really pan out. And I suppose the way that they have been broken up, they haven't done anything in the way that they did with Enzo and Cass. So in theory, they could always put them back together in the future if they really wanted to. So just briefly then, one more thing on Raw before we move across to SmackDown. I mean, technically it's Raw. Another listener, Mark Kellaway, who's at Mark Kellaway on Twitter, asks about Paige and her status within the WWE. What do you feel her future is? Does she actually have a future within WWE? It's I know there's a lot of things being put about on social media with her lately, and it's quite concerning, some of it.
Oh, it's very concerning. It's so sad, isn't it? Because, you know, she's a young girl, she's only 24 years of age, I think. She's been wrestling forever, though, because she comes from a wrestling family. Her mum is a wrestler, dad's a wrestler, brothers are wrestlers. She's got a nephew that wrestles. The whole family wrestles. So it's in her blood. And for her to be sidelined in the way she has been, obviously she's had a neck injury as well that's not helped. But this relationship with Alberto has just been a disaster for her, because up until then she was a popular member of the WWE roster. Granted, at the time she departed from the roster due to injury, she wasn't in a prominent spot, you know, in terms of the female division, but you know, she was amongst the more popular talents, and it probably would have been a matter of time before she would have gone back into the title picture, you know, feuding with you know, the top stars on Raw. But yeah, this whole relationship's just been so, so messy. Alberto Del Rio is just a head case anyway. He is allegedly, you know, into hard drugs. He's somebody who's certainly had significant behavioural issues in the last couple of years, certainly since departing from the WWE, but even whilst he was there. Got in fights, beat his own brother up in Germany, was arrested for that, had other arrests in the US, had, you know, very public bust-ups with Paige. The incident with Paige at the airport, you know, there were comments that were captured by a fan on her phone, which was then shared on TMZ. It really made for bad listening for both individuals, in fact, not just for Alberto. The long and short of it is, and until she gets away from him, she has no career. And that's so sad, because she's a girl with a lot of talent. She's got so much to give. Wrestling is all she knows. And, you know, for that career to have fizzled out in the way it has is so sad. But it still can be resurrected, because, as I say, she's only 24. She needs to be removed from that environment. She needs to be taken away from it. And a large part of that is her accepting that she's in a bad situation. And the difficulty is that at this moment in time, she's in complete denial about all of this. You know, they only split up a few weeks ago, and within a week, they were back together. So he clearly has control and influence over her. And, you know, it's something that her family are trying to intervene in and try to resolve. But it's difficult for them. She's thousands of miles away in a different country. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we will not get fixed in terms of her career. I've got to give credit to WWE. It would have been very easy for them to have already wished all the best in the future endeavours. They've not done that. Is this issue with Alberto in terms of alleged battery a third strike? Maybe, maybe not. If it was, I think, as I say, WWE probably would have future endeavoured there by now. I think that they're seeing if she does break up with Alberto. He certainly tried his best to try and force the WWE's hand in sacking her, because he said some really, really controversial stuff about the WWE in the last few weeks. And, you know, even despite that, they've not let her go. So my feeling is they want to keep her. They have faith in her. They think that she can come back and continue and resume her career. But until she breaks up with Alberto, that career will not be resumed in the WWE.
Yeah, it's certainly very difficult to see any other way, and can only hope things turn out positively. And that's probably as much as we should say on that. So moving across to SmackDown side of it, and before we get into a Battleground preview, just briefly on Talking Smack, news came out during the week that Talking Smack had been cancelled as a weekly show and will just be on after the pay-per-views. Much to the surprise and chagrin, shall we say, of the two main people on there, Renee Young and Daniel Bryan, they were not shy in expressing their surprise, shall we say, at finding out that the show had been cancelled. Renee Young tweeting, you know, that's one way to get the news. And Daniel Bryan tweeting that he'd come online to support Sammy for Syria, only to find out the news. Or adding that nobody tells him anything. So slightly surprising in that, you know, you're going to cancel the show on your network and you're not going to inform, you know, the people involved in it. And certainly not a good way to find out what's happening like that. I thought for a while it was a good show. I must admit, I was starting to get sort of disenchanted with it because it became more of a backstage segment almost, you know, the way that things were so heavily scripted. In its better moments, I enjoyed the fact that it felt so fresh and real, and the fact that, you know, certainly early on in it, people seemed to be unscripted and that they, you know, that they could relax, and then their characters came through a bit more. So it's a shame. I think it was an interesting format, but the introduction of 205 kind of disjointed it somewhat. So what about yourself, Mo? What are your thoughts on this whole situation with Talking Smack being cancelled as a weekly show?
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame in that they were doing something different. And, you know, one of the things is that it demonstrated that when people are allowed to be a bit more like themselves, and cut promos that are a bit more realistic, their mic work can be a lot more effective. And one of the main beneficiaries of that was The Miz. A large part of the reason why he's had a bit of a career renaissance over the last 12 months is largely down to that show. He cut that very memorable promo, with Daniel Bryan about a year ago now, wasn't it? Or just less than that. And hasn't looked back since. And, that's the sort of stuff that, if anything, they should be doing more of on the main TV show rather than on a separate show. And if the plan is to do more of that on the main show, then fine. I can understand why Vince, and it was, I believe, a Vince call for cancelling the show. I can understand why he's made that call. It's that, look, there's so much content that fans are being asked to keep in touch with that, sometimes it can drive people away. When there used to be only two shows, just Raw and SmackDown, the more hardcore WWE fans would just about be able to keep on top of that. 4 hours of TV a week, then Raw went to 5 hours. Then, we've had these weekly kind of talk shows in and around Raw and SmackDown. We've got the pre-shows. We've got NXT. We've got 205 Live. And as we've seen with UFC, for example, if you're just putting out too much content, then, it can drive fans away because they think, right, there's just so much that we're being asked to try and keep on top of that I'm really struggling. I've got 8-9 hours that they want me to keep in touch with and, try and keep up with, and it's just too much. And it drives some fans away.
Sorry, Mo, is this perhaps then a wider issue and a consequence of the network, that they've got this 24-hour network, and it's not just, a library that you access and you can watch stuff on demand, that they're actively using it as like a TV channel that's 24/7, that the content is so saturated and it's so accessible anytime, that rather than concentrating your viewership into, 2 4-hour blocks, a couple of 2-hour blocks through the week, or a 3 and a 2-hour block, it's so spread out over a week that people are just picking and choosing here and there. And then consequently, people are losing. I know a lot of TV shows have got a lot less viewers than traditionally they used to because of the way that TV's moved on anyway. But is this part of why, the ratings are plummeting?
Yeah, I think it is. In fact, I'm writing an article for Total Wrestling Magazine, so getting my plug in early, in next month's issue, about ratings and specifically ratings on Sky. Raw's ratings on Sky have plummeted to an incredible extent. They used to draw hundreds of thousands of viewers. Obviously, Raw airs and always has aired multiple times a week on Sky Sports. And the live show, that used to actually get over 100,000 viewers staying up at silly hours on a Monday night, Tuesday morning. Now that viewership is down to about 15 to 18,000 viewers. So and that's been a drop in only the last year or two. Massive, massive drop. And I think, you can certainly point at the WWE network as a contributor to all of that. But on top of that, you've got stuff on YouTube where, you can catch highlights from the WWE's official channel. And for a lot of fans, that they just are content with that. They don't want to sit through 2 hours and 3 hours of stuff. They'll just happily watch, 5 or 10 minutes of the key highlights. And, if there's a really hot angle, once every few weeks, they'll watch the whole thing, again, on readily available on YouTube or the network or wherever. And, that's enough for them. So the way in which WWE fans consume the WWE product has changed significantly in the last couple of years, and the network's played a big part in that. But not only the network, I think that the way that content providers have moved generally and more widely has also influenced that. Viewing habits have certainly significantly shifted. You know, the likes of YouTube, the likes of Netflix, Amazon Prime, they've all radically changed the way in which people consume programming. So, you know, it's different. It's very different. And the WWE, I think, really has to try and address that issue. They need to move with the times. And that's the dilemma they've got, because the more content they produce, which is under the banner of the WWE, the more of a turnoff it will be for fans. You know, they want product that's easy to follow. And, you know, those more successful TV shows out there, those that are very simple and easy to follow. And WWE program increasingly isn't, because there's more and more of it. And so that's the dilemma they've got. That on the one hand, they want to keep those network subscriber numbers increasing. But on the other hand, their traditional content is suffering because viewing habits are changing, and you know, they feel obliged, well, not obliged, but they feel that it's necessary to put out more and more content. And, you know, that will only continue. But I think one of the solutions to that might be that you know, they come up with more deals with independent companies and use them to provide their original content for the network. So it means that their own WWE brand content isn't overexposed. But they're certainly in danger of that at the moment. And again, that perhaps explains why they've got this real problem in the company around talent feeling like they're not being used right, because there's just so much programming to fill up. They can get through what normally might have been 2 months worth of storylines in the past, you know, in the matter of a couple of weeks now. And they regularly and constantly having to come up with new ideas for people. And, you know, in the past, you know, you could have one worker have two programs and that lasts them for a full year, whereas nowadays they're lucky if that gets them through a month.
Yeah, I think part of that is because there's so much programming, and it's the saturation there is, we just keep seeing the same people having the same matches week after week after week, and then we come to a pay-per-view event, and we've already seen it so many times that it's not fresh, it's not exciting, it's happened, and the fan reaction isn't what they anticipate, isn't what they hope for, so they move on to something else, and it just keeps moving and moving and moving, because we're seeing the same people fight each other week after week on TV, and it's something to be said for that traditional era of using jobbers a lot on TV, you know, and keeping main protagonists away from each other. And just moving on to Battleground, looking at the Battleground card, I mean, one at the bottom of the card, something that jumps out at me straight away for that is, you know, Sami Zayn's going to be taking on Mike Bennett, or known on WWE TV as Mike Kanellis. Now, we've just seen that match on SmackDown, but they're going to be fighting again at Battleground. And I can't say, although both guys good workers and they could have a really good match, I'm not in any way enthralled and excited at the prospect of watching that.
No, me neither. You know, and that brings us again to another discussion, which is almost a pod in itself, about WWE pay-per-views, or at least these big shows were known as pay-per-views. You know, these shows were supposed to feature special matches that you wouldn't see on TV. Yeah, as you point out, increasingly the matches that are being served up on these monthly pay-per-views, or even fortnightly now, are matches that we're seeing on TV each week. And you know, the only real difference might be that we've got perhaps more gimmick matches on the big pay-per-view shows as opposed to TV. But the kind of difference between your regular TV and these specials, these pay-per-views, those lines are being blurred all the time. And, you know, before long, there'll be, you know, virtually negligible difference between the two. And it, when that happens, then that's certainly bad news for subscriber numbers again, because, you know, it's the pay-per-views being available on the network for, you know, your $9.99 a month subscription that was the big selling point. And if they're just another TV show, then you know, they're certainly less attractive to potential new subscribers. As for the match itself, yeah, it's, you know, the first of a number of examples on the card of misuse of talent. Sami Zayn, exceptional worker, one of the more over talents on SmackDown, has been misused for months. Now, he really should win this match, but I really don't think he will. I've got a feeling that they'll put over Mike Kanellis, who's, he's an okay worker, but he's pretty vanilla. He's really ordinary, given some of the other much better talent on the roster. But because he's new, Maria's back with him, I've got a feeling that they'll put him over and Sammy will job yet again. Match should be okay, but yeah, complete misuse of him.
Yeah, he's been presented as a bit of a goofball, which is, it's never a successful formula. Next one up on there on my list is AJ Styles against Kevin Owens for the United States Championship. And, you know, again, this is a, you know, we've seen these two go back and forth quite often, but I'm still looking forward to this because there is a slight dynamic change in this, that the title changed hands in a live event off TV. And quite whether or not they bring this feud to an end here, it remains to be seen. But I think these two, they haven't had their peak moment yet. So I'm looking forward to this match just as much as anything to see if, you know, these two can really hit this one out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, ordinarily this should be an amazing match. These are two of the elite workers in the entire business. And if they're given any reasonable length of time, you know, they should construct a hell of a match. I think I read somewhere about Owens having an injury, which is why, because he dropped the title to Styles in, was it in Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, it was at MSG, yeah.
And I think that there was some talk that was due to Owens having suffered an injury and that he might not even be able to work Battleground. So if that's true, then, you know, it might be that the match itself might not be quite as great as it otherwise would be if Owens does have an injury that needs him to hit the sidelines for a bit just to recover from it. But, you know, it's another one which I'm not really excited about, surprisingly, because yes, they're exceptional workers, but the way they've been booked, the storylines have been so uninspiring on SmackDown, really hasn't got me excited for it in the slightest. And the only thing that gets me excited in a way is the fact that I know these are very, very good workers. But you know, the TV is what should get you really pumped up for this. I mean, look at, you know, just take a recent example of Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. You know, they went on this big publicity campaign with these press conferences before large crowds in the last week or week and a half. And, you know, those worked so effectively. They got everyone pumped up for this boxing match between the two, even though on paper it's a complete mismatch. I mean, Floyd Mayweather is arguably the greatest boxer of all time. And he's up against somebody who's never had a boxing fight in his life. But nonetheless, because of their personalities and the way that they've cut their promos and everything, everyone's hyped for it and it will do record business. Whereas in the WWE, we've got this recurring theme of programs, rivalries that should get you excited that after 3-4 weeks, have you anything but, because of the way that they're booked. And this is yet another example of that. So As for the match, I think it'll be really good. I think Styles will win just because of the talk about Owens having an injury. That's all I can really expect out of that match. And I think after that, Styles will then move on to another opponent on the SmackDown after this show.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. Certainly, yeah, the way that it's been booked has been uninspiring and certainly not been the best use of the two. Like I said, I'm looking forward to it just purely for the in-match product and anticipation of hopefully these two, putting their best stuff together. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, we talk about people not being used very well. The next one up is a classic, another great classic example of that. Shinsuke Nakamura against Baron Corbin. Now, Corbin has got the Money in the Bank briefcase, so obviously they're going to want to make him look strong. Shinsuke Nakamura's come up, was used so brilliantly and effectively by NXT, made to feel like an absolute star. They've brought him up. At first, he felt like a star, but then they're putting him in matches, and it's, the way that they construct the matches is so 50-50. You know, the working of the matches is as parity as the booking, as who's winning matches. So I feel like Nakamura's losing some of that specialness. And in a match against Baron Corbin, it's going to be difficult for it to be a great match. And I just worry about the direction they're heading with him.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, he's another one who built up a great head of steam on NXT since he's come up to the main roster. His run has been certainly underwhelming. And we all know, and it's very clear, very charismatic, super talented in the ring. But that doesn't count for much at this moment in time in the WWE. There's lots of very, very talented workers who are not being used as effectively as they can be. I talked about kind of battle of ideologies earlier on, and this is perhaps an example of that. You know, in Nakamura, you've got somebody who's certainly a pet project for Triple H. You know, Triple H was quite instrumental in bringing Nakamura in from New Japan, whereas Baron Corbin is certainly more of a Vince type of worker, very big, not necessarily a great in-ring worker, but more of a traditional WWE type of talent. So the outcome of this match might give a bit of a clue about, again, where Vince wants things to head. And make no mistake, Vince is still, the number one when it comes to decision making in the WWE. As powerful as Triple H is, ultimately the decisions rest with Vince. And, if Nakamura loses this match, which he shouldn't, but there's always that possibility, then that certainly might give a clue about where Nakamura's future lays in the WWE, but also more widely about where Vince wants to take the direction of SmackDown. And I've talked at length in the past about how SmackDown, if anything, should be the more in-ring orientated of the two shows, and have sports entertainment as the focus of Raw. But if anything, we're seeing more sports entertainment on SmackDown at the moment. And I think the product overall on that side is suffering as a result.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. That's something I've noticed the last few weeks in particular. SmackDown was more like the hardcore wrestling type of show. It was more simplistic. It was easy to watch. It was entertaining. It was fun. It was quite snappy. Definitely easier to get through. And recently, it's become more the soap opera. It's become a lot more like Raw. And that's not a good thing, because, that's what I liked about it, that it was different to Raw. So we had two different shows. And it's not that, they've become so similar. But like you say, Raw, if anything, is starting to move slightly in the other direction. And the roster doesn't fit it, and it's such a shame. And it's the thing is, Nakamura is a special talent. There are some special talents on that roster, and Nakamura is one of them. He is very special, and he's been made to feel special and look special, and my concern is that the way that he was used in the way that the matches were booked and constructed with Ziggler was that he's just another guy. He's just another guy on the roster, and it's like, oh my god, you know that's such an opportunity that you would be missing out on. You know, to just make him look like another guy is just madness. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely, it is, and you know, that's what's so sad, because you know, if you look at the WWE roster in terms of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and even those that are just about coming through. I mean, I'll talk at the end about some talents that WWE has signed in the last. We're about to sign in the last week and a half. You know, the roster in terms of in-ring talent has arguably never been stronger. So really, they've got no excuse for not putting out some amazing matches on a weekly basis on all of their TV shows and having some unbelievable shows on pay-per-view on the network. And yet that's not happening. And that's because, this kind of conflict of what the WWE's product should be, but B, because you know, there's such a epidemic of misuse of talent. So that's so sad.
I mean, just for us to start blasting through this card, it's, you know, another example of badly representing talent. The women's five-way elimination match, you know, to determine the number one contender to the women's SmackDown Women's Championship, and they're going to fight at SummerSlam. You've got Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch versus Natalia versus Tamina versus Lana. Now, again, Charlotte Flair is another one that's been made to look like just another member of the roster, not feeling so special on SmackDown. You know, these crappy backstage segments that are really terrible. They're really hawky. They're really wooden. They're not in any way convincing. I'm dreading this match. I must admit, I'm absolutely dreading this match. And it's, again, you know, this whole thing of misusing talent and not building properly. It's a crying shame. And we say this because we're fans, you know, we are wrestling fans, we're long-term wrestling fans, and we want to see the business succeed. We want to see WWE do well. And it is frustrating when you see the amount of talent that's there.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're listening, you love what you're seeing on Raw and SmackDown every week, then you're probably not enjoying what we're having to say. But look, I mean, it's very difficult to objectively say that the WWE TV product is hot or great at the moment, or even good for that matter. In our view, it just simply isn't. And you know, this match is another example of that. The booking of this whole program has been really poor. Charlotte Flair on Raw was the hottest female, arguably, in the business. You know, was used to close out Raws, to main event Raws, to main event Raw pay-per-views. Since she's came over, been turned face, it's just been a complete and utter disaster. So it's not worked at all. And as a result of that, the female division on SmackDown has suffered. And you know, this match has got no excitement about it, no momentum going into the show. Nobody really cares. And I don't think anyone's too bothered who ends up winning the contest to become the number one contender.
Yeah, it's sad, but I completely agree. Although I have a sneaking suspicion that it could be Charlotte, and we may potentially see some kind of a turn in the process of all this.
Yeah, I think that the fact she's been jobbing more than she perhaps had for a whole year on Raw is normally a sign that you know, they're about to move on to a winning streak. And so I think you're right. I think there's certainly signs that could happen with a turn and leading obviously into that feud with a champ.
Another one on there that I'm not enamored about is Rusev has returned and was straight into a match with John Cena, who's just come back onto WWE TV. I mean, we've seen this feud before, except then it was hot. Now it feels forced. I mean, in 2017, we're having a flag match. Seriously, this really doesn't get me going at all. I've got to say, it really doesn't.
No, me neither. Cena just feels like he's come back to just fill time between Hollywood gigs or presenting TV shows. So it doesn't feel like he's, you know, a proper part of the roster anymore. And that's a shame, because when, you know, he cut those promos on The Rock about how he's always there, you know, you believed it because he was always there. Whereas for the last, you know, 12, 18 months, he's rarely around. I imagine it won't be long before he disappears for another couple of months to do some other piece of work outside of the WWE. So it just feels like something to just help bide his time. And so as a result, there's really nothing to this. And it, obviously, it's something that we've seen a zillion times before. So, there's no real anticipation for it. And again, I really don't care much about who wins it. If anything, Rusev should, because, you know, he's the full timer. But if anything, that suggests it will be the part timer that will win in John Cena.
Yeah, I fully expect John Cena to win. And again, it's the whole direction of SmackDown right now. I think it really needs a big shake up. It's drifting in a very disappointing direction at the moment. And the tag team championships, the only two viable teams on the roster, it seems at the moment, the Usos and New Day fighting again. Do we see the title change this time?
I think we might do, yes. I think that it will give the New Day a chance to come out with their WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship hip thrusting kind of shtick, which they've not been able to do for a few months now. And that's probably it. The Usos as champs have done nothing for me. The New Day as an act feel tired as well, so, you know, it's not something that will leave people with great feelings one way or another. I wouldn't have thought, in terms of who does end up walking out of that match as champions. It was leading on from another question that we were asked about the tag team divisions, and clearly both divisions are not strong at the moment, and SmackDown's especially. And there's certainly a case to be made that, you know, the tag team division should be merged in much the same way that the women's division should be merged and just be located on one or other of the two main shows. But yeah, it's something that's only really had the highlight of Xavier Woods and his Rated R rap battle thing from about 3 weeks back. But that's been the only thing to get excited about in any way remotely. Other than that, again, poorly booked. And I think the match will be fine. I think there's a good chance New Day will walk away as the new champions. But again, is it going to really change the dynamic of the division in the way it needs to? Probably not.
Yeah, the words poorly booked have been used quite a lot tonight. That is a shame. That just leaves us with the WWE Championship. Jinder Mahal defending the title against Randy Orton in a Punjabi prison match. Now, last week we asked you, the listeners, to send us your favourite Punjabi prison match moments. And the best we could muster up was from Ali Thompson, who was struggling and said it was up there with the scaffold match as worst ever. And we got one as well from Mark Calloway as the best part in both the previous Punjabi prison matches was the bell at the end, so that we knew it was over and could forget about it. is it third time's a charm here, or are we in for another absolute clusterfuck? There's no other way of saying it, really.
Well, yeah, that's probably a fair description. I don't see how it could possibly end up as a good match. They might try to bring in the bells and whistles, Randy Orton is increasingly becoming quite a boring worker to watch. We're a real bundle of joy this week, aren't we, on this show? Jinder Mahal, is clearly very limited in what he can do. At best, they'll pull together a decent, maybe a good match. But, let's face it, the chances are it won't be enjoyable viewing. Being the main event, it's unlikely to go 10 minutes because it doesn't involve Goldberg or Brock Lesnar. So they're probably going to go nearer to 20 minutes, maybe longer than that. And it's not a match that historically has delivered exciting matches. So are we going to be treated to a 5-star match? Well, I think there's more chance of seeing Kylian Mbappe at signing for Liverpool in the next few weeks than there is of that match being an excellent match. So, yeah, it's going to end the show on a suitably low note. That's probably about right, because as a show, barring one or two matches, I really haven't got high hopes for it. I would be surprised if it isn't one of the worst WWE pay-per-views of 2017.
Yeah, I'd actually say there's more chance of Kylian Mbappe signing for Darlington than there is of this being a 5-star match. I really do see this being an absolute shitstorm. It's an awful gimmick match. It's not set up to be aesthetically pleasing. You've also got a jobber. A guy who's been for years has been presented as a jobber suddenly is your WWE champion against a guy, like you said, who's not a natural babyface. He is a natural heel presented as a babyface with what is now a boring character going through the motions. This is just going to be, I'm sorry, but this is going to be a poor match. And I do see, I can only envisage Mahal keeping the title, and hopefully they have something lined up for SummerSlam that can at least, give us something in terms of TV to follow on from this, to pick up the mood, because the title has been in a lull, and SmackDown as a TV product has been in a lull for a few months now. So it really desperately needs something, but, I can't see it being a positive end to an otherwise underwhelming pay-per-view. So our hopes are not high. I think it's fair to say that. Just before we go then, Mo, you mentioned you were going to talk about a few people that have been signed to WWE.
Yes, that's right. So WWE's had its eye on a number of talents that have been in Ring of Honor over the last several years, and they had been a bit of a legal dispute which had prohibited WWE from signing these talents sooner, but it looks like that's been resolved now. So talents in Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Dominic Dijak are three of the names that are or coming in or have already signed for the WWE. These are all very good talents. Dijak's one to really keep an eye on. 6'5", 260 pounds, very athletic. Saw him live in Leicester just a few months ago, in fact, late 2016 for Ring of Honor. Had a heck of a match with a great worker in Leo Rush. And they're certainly going to spice things up on the NXT roster when they eventually end up on there in the coming weeks and months. So good acquisitions for the WWE. But again, more Triple H type acquisitions than Vince type acquisitions. So in terms of their long term prospects, who knows? But nonetheless, good for them, and you know, it's something that they've obviously devoted their careers to. So the fact that they're now in, you know, is certainly great news for them.
Yeah, Bobby Fish has already debuted this past week on NXT, and certainly looks interesting. He had quite a match with Aleister Black. That was that was entertaining, and the fans really sort of got into it. So yeah, should be interesting to see how the guys do. And NXT certainly seems to be the ideal place for some of these Triple H signings. The ethos matches, I think, is the kindest way to put it. But that's it for another show here. We're rapidly out of time. But before we do go, Mo, anything you'd like to quickly plug, and where can the listeners catch you on social media?
So at Mo Chatra on Twitter is where you can follow me. As I mentioned earlier, I've got an article coming out on WWE's programming on Sky and its relationship with Sky. So that will be out in August, and more details of that will be shared when the issue is about to come out.
Excellent. Look forward to that one. Certainly look forward to that article on ratings, and we'll get that. We'll give that plenty of coverage on the PW Index Twitter account, which is at PW_index. But that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with a review of Battleground and anything else that's making the news, and hopefully it turns out to be a better show than we expected. But till then, thanks to Mo Chatra, my audio tag team partner, once again. Our thanks to you, the listeners, for staying with us and for hitting that download button every week. But until next week, from myself, Andy Wales, here at the PW Index, it's bye-bye now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.